language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the sun's up. That's a pun.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton. Look in my eyes,
what do you see? This is the only live and local evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776, 737-80-ESPN. On the John Bailos on the line, on the text line, on X at P. Creighton 1. Big Johnny B. There's no music because Johnny B is actually not at the board right now. No, BT is at the board right now, but he doesn't have theme music because, well, he hasn't thought of theme music. BT, you need to think about some theme music. When we introduce you, you got to have some theme music. BT, what's your X handle? You got to hit the microphone button and talk.
Yeah, Sports BT, B-E-E-T-E.
B-E-E-T-E-E? Dude, why the hell you make it so complicated? Just put B and T.
Because it was taken already.
Come up with something. BT. Sports BT. Like, that's something like the 23-year-old chick who does the over-unders picks. Come on, man!
Would you like for me to change my X handle?
Yes, I'd like you to make it something cooler and more manly.
All right, done deal.
Work on that. So he's at Sports B-E-E-T-E-E, along with some other 16-year-old girl. And, of course, Johnny at Third Coast Johnny. On the X, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN97.5. Take us with you everywhere you go. And would you believe the Astros have scored not one, not two, but three runs. Three runs in the second inning. And would you like to know how they scored three runs in the second inning? It all started with a triple by Jose Abreu, who led off the inning with a triple. And then after a ground out by Chaz and a strikeout by Jeremy Pena, it would seem they would find a way to strand a leadoff triple, much as they did Kyle Tucker the other day. But then, Mauricio Dubon, Justin Verlander's personal center fielder, with the base knock up the middle, and here comes Abreu, and it's 1-0. And then, the much-maligned hacker of Machete, with the double to left, and that would score Mauricio Dubon as JV's personal catcher, drives in his personal center fielder, and it's 2-0. And then, Jose Altuve, everybody's personal second baseman, with the base hit scoring Machete, and it is 3-0 Houston Astros in the second inning. And Justin Verlander with a little bit of room to work, something Astros pitchers have really not had over the last 2 weeks. Get a lead. Get a vintage performance from the future Hall of Famer. And that is how you end losing streaks. That is how you flip the switch. That is how you stay in the playoff race and kick the team behind you square in the junk and knock them down a peg or two. That is how it gets done. The Astros with an early lead, much as the Texans had an early lead. What is this? Who are these guys? With an early lead, the Houston Texans never have an early lead. Lately, the Houston Astros have never had an early lead. But now, we will get around the AFC South, starting in the dirty swamps of Jacksonville with a tank.
Stroud to throw, the blitz is on. He floats one wide open, and there he goes. Tank down all the way in for a Texan touchdown. A blitz-beating 68-yarder. Rookie to rookie.
Now, I'm not going to lie. Joe Davis, not exactly my favorite play-by-play guy. He didn't exactly bring the energy. Didn't make me feel real good as Tank Dell with five catches for a 145 and that 68-yard touchdown. And he has no call. Look at him go! Well, like, gee, just pull that one out of, like, 1920. So exciting. C.J. Stroud, 20 of 30, 282 scores. Texans still can't run the ball, but ran it enough times to keep the defense honest. Most importantly, they didn't give up a zillion yards on the ground. Now, they gave up 116 yards, but only 4.3 per carry, which is actually about league average, but really good for the Texans. And found themselves with a pick and a blocked kick and a kick return touchdown. 37-17, the Texans smashed the Jaguars, who are supposed to be the class of the division, who are supposed to be the winners of the AFC South. But something very interesting has happened, and that would be that the genius offensive coach in Doug Peterson has seeded play calls. Doug Peterson's not calling the offense this year. And you might recall once upon a time in another city somewhat north of here that is very, very dirty and filthy, Doug Peterson won a title, but then Doug Peterson gave up play calling and the offense kind of came undone. Doug Peterson has given up play calling and the offense may be coming undone. Elsewhere in the AFC South, the Tennessee Titans, who I told you early in the year, overrated. The Tennessee Titans were going to be sliding down this season. They were going to be sliding down the standings because they are not very good. They got crushed by the air humper.
Really credit the entire defense. They came to play today.
Play action from Watson's going to take a shot. Cooper wide open. Touchdown.
Deshaun Watson hitting Amari Cooper for the touchdown there. You know, this was the best game Watson has had since his return to the league. And not a surprise that it happened against the trash-ass Tennessee Titans. The air humper, 27 of 33, 289 and two scores. And look, Amari Cooper had 116 yards. They missed Nick Chubb on the ground as they struggled to run the football. 31 carries, 78 yards. Yikes. Jerome Ford, who was going to be the, quote, feature back, 10 carries, 18 yards. Kareem Hunt, 5 carries, 13 yards in his first action this year. But the Browns destroyed the Titans 27-3. Ryan Tannehill was 13 of 25 for 104 yards. Those are some Brock Osweiler numbers. Derrick Henry, 11 carries, 20 yards. Oof. DeAndre Hopkins, 3 catches, 48 yards. Because Tannehill was trash-a-hill. The Titans are not going to have a good season. You know, resident Titan fan called early and he was amazing. I hope we just lose out so they could draft Caleb Williams because, well, Ryan Tannehill sucks. And Malik Willis does not look like he is an NFL quarterback. And do you want to put your football team in the hands of a guy who puts mayonnaise in his coffee? Unless your name is Jeremy Branham, the answer is no. Yeah, the Titans stink. Elsewhere, the Indianapolis Colts and the Baltimore Ravens. Look, this was supposed to be an ass-kicking, and Gardner Minshew holding his own against Lamar Jackson. But late in the game, it would come down to a field goal attempt by the greatest kicker of all time, and he did this.
He's got to hit it good. This is 61-yard field goal.
Kick is on its way. Justin Tucker, and it comes up short.
This ball came up short. It's a good snap, a good hold. He hits it well. As soon as he hit it, I thought it was good, and he just got under it a little bit. And now this is the interesting thing. There's 1 second left. So now the Colts are going to get the ball at the 49-yard line.
Yes.
They can either run a play, a Hail Mary.
Even the greatest kicker of all time could not save the Baltimore Ravens, who somehow could not score a whole lot of points against the Indianapolis Colts. And don't look now, but the Colts have, believe it or not, 2 wins. And they beat the Ravens in Baltimore with Gardner Minshew. Remember how Zach Moss ran all over the Texans? Well, Zach Moss ran all over the Ravens, 30 carries and 122 yards. So right now, in the AFC South, it is the Indianapolis Colts in first place, followed by a logjam with the Texans, Jaguars, and Titans all at 1-2. And believe it or not, the Texans -7 point differential is better than Jacksonville's and better than Tennessee's. Small wins. By the way, right now, if I asked you who the best quarterback is in the AFC South, you might say that guy is on the Houston Texans. Coming up next, it's time for Money Play, as our buddy Dalton Brown from bettingpredators.com has your MLB best bets coming up next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip now.
I knew which vegetables went together, proteins, temperature, sauces. And when somebody new came into the restaurant to stage, I'd look at them like they were a competition, like I'm going to smoke this mother.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
It's time for Money Plays with Patrick Creighton.
Love that money.
Presented by BetUS, the original online sports book. Now, get ready to take down the best money plays of the day.
All right, joining us right now on the HRB guest line, MLB handicapper with bettingpredators.com. He's our buddy Dalton Brown. What's up, Dalton?
Hey, Pat, thanks so much for having me. How's it going?
Well, you know, it's going better tonight because the Astros look like the Astros from 2022 and not the Astros from 2012 right now. And that's very important for my health and sanity. Also got a great win from the Houston Texans this weekend. So things are not too bad right here in the greater Houston area. It even rained here, believe it or not. Like something wet fell out of the sky. Which we haven't seen in so long, it's almost like we don't know what that's called. So things are actually going pretty well down here right now. Let's talk about some money plays and hopefully, there will be some good things not only to watch, but also to win money on here in the great city of Houston. Let's talk about these Astros and Mariners. Right now, Astros got a 4-0 lead. Yordan Alvarez just left the building. But the Astros have been playing like dog and turds, and the dog left the yard for the last 2 weeks. So important for them to kind of get back on the horse here in Seattle. They got Verlander on the bump tonight, but let's take a peek at tomorrow's game, Dalton. What do you like about this series? Is there a particular game, a particular matchup in this series that maybe you happen to like? You know, this is a late game tomorrow. Christian Javier and George Kirby on the bump tomorrow. What are you looking at as you look to set your wages this week for the Astros, the Mariners?
Yeah, tomorrow is the game that I'm targeting in this series, and it's a pretty intriguing matchup between Christian Javier and George Kirby. Both guys who have underperformed a little bit of late. Javier did get some momentum going in his last start, looked a little bit better, but he'd allowed three or more earned runs in six straight before that. Still, tomorrow, I make that game a toss-up between the Astros and Mariners, and the reason being, I give the Mariners a little bit of a head start on the mound with George Kirby, but the Astros have had the better bullpen in September by a small margin, but the Astros have been absolutely crushing right-handed pitching, and that's what I think gives them the edge here. Astros WRC plus in September of 142 against righties, that's 42% above average. So in a pitching matchup that I think slightly favors Seattle, I think the offensive side favors Houston in a big way, and you can get the Astros a plus 125 in a spot where I really don't think they should be plus money, especially when you consider the way the Astros start to play when you get into late September, when you get in October. I think we're going to see them start to turn that on a little bit here.
Another game coming up tomorrow. Look, one of these teams is very much in the wild card hunt in the National League, and the other is, well, playing out the string. It's the Diamondbacks on the south side of Chicago taking on the White Sox. Zach Davies on the hill and Jose Urena on the bump for the White Sox. These are two guys whose combined ERA is probably about 7. What are you looking at for this guy? Like the D-backs, I mean, they need to win in the worst way.
Yeah, they do. And this is a rare week in baseball where you can actually look at situational spots as opposed to just looking at pitching matchups. And this is a classic situational spot that you're getting the last week of the season where you've got the Diamondbacks tied to the last wild card spot right now. They've got a one-game lead on the team behind them, which I believe is Miami at the moment. So they need this game, like you said. And the pitching matchup, it's not great on either side. You've got Jose Urania taking the mound for the White Sox. He's 0-6 with a 7.27 and a 6.17 expected ERA. He's been one of baseball's worst starting pitchers. You look on the other side of Zach Davies, he honestly hasn't been a whole lot better, and he's got an ERA around 8 on the road. So I think you're looking at two starting pitchers that aren't any good, but everywhere else is where I start to see advantages for Arizona. White Sox 30th, dead last in baseball against right-handed pitching in the month of September. White Sox also bottom 5 in baseball out of the bullpen in September. That's a team in free fall. That's a team with nothing to play for. On the flip side with Arizona, obviously they've got everything to play for. So to me, minus 130 on a team that I expect to manage their bullpen like a playoff game against a team that has nothing going for it whatsoever, that's cheap enough. I'll take the D-backs minus 132 at FanDuel.
Talking with Dalton Brown, bettingpredators.com, MLB handicapper with us on the HRMP guest line here on Money Plays on Late Hits. Dalton, another game that I know you're looking at tomorrow is the Yankees and the Blue Jays. The Yankees basically fell out of it, brought up a bunch of kids, and they're playing better. They got Michael King on the mound tomorrow, and he's actually been pretty good. Got a 2.66 ERA, even though I know he hasn't been a starter the whole season. Kevin Gausman's been really good for the Jays all year, 12-9, 3.29. In Toronto tomorrow night, the Jays are 2 ahead of the Astros for the 5 spot. So they definitely don't want to be losing games to the Yankees. What do you see for this game here with the Yanks and the Jays?
Yeah, it's a really intriguing pitching matchup, especially because Michael King and Kevin Gausman both saw this opponent in their last start. Both pitchers threw really well. Michael King against Toronto last week, 7 innings, one earned runs, 13 strikeouts, and no walks. He's probably been the brightest spot for the Yankees here down the stretch in what is now a lost season. And Kevin Gausman in that same, in that same series, he looks great, 6 innings scoreless against New York, 10 strikeouts in that one. He's gone 6 or more in his last 3 starts. So two pitchers who are both pitching pretty well here. But what I'm seeing is a team total with Toronto that's set a little bit too low. You can get that at almost any book right now at 3.5. And while I understand Michael King has thrown well, that's the first time he's pitched 7 innings in his entire career. So I think there's some concerns about how is his body going to bounce back from that. And baseball teams adjust. When they see the same pitcher twice in a row, you tend to see teams start to hit better. I think Toronto probably gets after Michael King a little bit, at least gets a few runs off of him. And then, like I talked about with the Arizona-Chicago game, teams manage their bullpens differently depending on whether they're in contention or not. The Yankees are not. Their bullpen is 19th in baseball in September. That's a little bit below average. So I think Toronto's going to be able to add on late. I think 3.5 is a tad too low. So I would take Toronto team total over 3.5.
So there you go. 3 money plays from my man Dalton Brown of Betting Predators. So let me ask you, you know, in the National League, the Braves already have 100 wins. The Dodgers have 96 wins. Now, I know you're a Dodgers guy. And, look, that team has had just injury after injury after injury. They just keep plugging guys in, and they keep winning. Are the Dodgers a team that can then legitimately challenge the Braves in the postseason, or are the Dodgers more about, hey, they can win in the regular season, but the guys who they would normally depend on to win in the postseason, those guys are beat to hell right now.
It's a big mystery for the Dodgers, I think. And for me, as a fan who's, you know, seen this year after year, I think it's really compelling. You know, the expectations are obviously lower. They are going to be underdogs if they play the Braves in the NLCS. But they've got some really intriguing rookies who are starting to pitch really well. You look at Bobby Miller, Ryan Pepiot, even Emek Sheehan. If they can get these rookies to come out and maybe surprise the Braves a little bit because they haven't seen too much of these guys, that could get pretty interesting pretty quick. But, you know, as a Dodger fan, it's kind of fun because it's a little bit of a free roll this playoffs. We don't have those lofty expectations. There isn't that embarrassment associated with losing because we're not really expected to win.
You know, just so in the National League, are the Braves the class of the National League?
I think you have to look at them that way at the moment. I think the Dodgers lineup can stand up to the Braves, but pitching-wise, it's just not particularly close, especially if they do get Max Fried back like they're expecting for the playoffs. I think right now the Braves have the clear advantage. They've got the more consistent bullpen, more consistent starting rotation, and a lineup that's just as good as the Dodgers and probably even has a little edge over it. So, yeah, it's pretty hard to argue otherwise.
In the American League right now, you know, the Orioles have the best record. Are the Orioles the best team going into the playoffs in the American League?
For my money, they're not. For my money, the scariest team if they make it into the playoffs has been the Astros all season and will continue to be the Astros. You look around the field of teams that are going to be there in the American League, not a lot of these teams have experience in these big moments. You can make the argument that the Rays do somewhat. Other than that, we haven't really seen the Rangers with this pressure on them. We haven't seen Baltimore with this pressure on them. The Astros are a team that we know how that lineup can get going in October. We see it almost every year. And so if you're going to ask me to put my trust in a team, it's still going to be Houston. But Baltimore, I mean, they've certainly earned the reputation that they have at the moment.
Do you think the Astros make the postseason?
I do because I think I think mentally they're entering postseason mode this week. I think we're seeing it tonight. I think they're going to tire out Seattle's bullpen tonight, get into the bullpen earlier tomorrow. I think Houston's playing on a mission this week, and I think they're going to find their way in. And if they do, you're probably heading to Minnesota where they'll be a favorite, even though they'll be on the road. So I like their chances.
He's Dalton Brown, bettingpredators.com. Find him on Twitter or X or whatever you're calling it today. At Dalton on Sports. Always appreciate you, my friend. We'll catch up soon, buddy.
Thanks so much.
All right, Dalton Brown, Betting Predators with the money plays. And, of course, you can get old Dalton's work at bettingpredators.com and follow him at Dalton on Sports. Coming up next, Sunday. Here's what happened in the NFL, because we don't have to panic or be worried because bases loaded, one out, Justin Verlander facing Julio Rodriguez, and he gets the 6-4-3. See ya.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Let me tell you about my favorite sportsbook casino, that's BetUS.com. They're the only sports book that I endorse because for their 30th anniversary as a sports betting service, they are giving you up to 30 risk-free bets. Up to 30, not one, not two, not three, up to 30 risk-free bets. It's called Bet Protect. They've got the biggest sign-up industry in the business, 125% sign-up bonus, 200% sign-up bonus if you sign up with crypto. Get Bet Protect and get started today. Visit them at BetUS.com, BetUS.com, or call them 1-800-MY-BETUS, 1-800-MY-BETUS. You want to learn how to do it in crypto so that you can get that monster 200% bonus? Call them 1-800-MY-BETUS. Get all the bonuses, all the special offers. BetUS.com, sportsbook and casino, where the game begins. All right, let's take you around the Sunday action in the league where they've always legally played for pay. We'll start with the Kansas City Chiefs and somebody getting a touchdown in front of his new girlfriend.
It's a lot out of sight.
11th play of the drive. Mahomes lofting end zone. There it is. A touchdown to Kelsey.
Well, I think that picture sums up the day here for Kansas City. They're on top of the world. Two plays in a row. Andy Reid's trying to get his best player the ball, and just a great little nod shake route down in the goal line. And the Kelsey Mahomes combination going to go down as one of the best ever.
Kelsey with the touchdown catch in front of new girlfriend Taylor Swift as they were seen exiting the building after a 41-10 beatdown of the Bears. They were seen exiting the building together. By the way, Kelsey had 69 yards receiving. I ain't saying it was on purpose, but it probably wasn't an accident, and I know Rob Gronkowski approves. Elsewhere around the league, things did not go very well for the Denver Broncos. They did go well for a particular running back those of us here in the Houston area know very well.
Gives Miami this great position, second and goal. Shovel pass, A-Chain, touchdown.
Devin A-Chain with the shovel pass. Tua with the Mahomes style, no-look shovel pass to Devin A-Chain as the Dolphins hung a 70-burger on Sean Payton and the Broncos. They win 70-20. In what was the, I think that's the most lopsided ass kicking that I've ever seen in a regular season game. That was just vicious. In a game between two teams that love to steal defeat from the jaws of victory, somebody needed to come out on top between the Chargers and the Vikings.
You can throw on the move. 49.
Double pass.
He's going to throw down the sideline. Williams wide open. Mike Williams with the catch, and he'll walk in for the touchdown.
Mike Williams with a 49-yard catch from Keenan Allen as it's the Chargers who get off the schneid in Minnesota 28-24. Unfortunately for Mike Williams, it'll be the last touchdown he catches this year. Torn ACL, out for the season. The Chargers finally get a win, and they lose their top wide receiver in the process. Meanwhile, the roar of the Lions, showing everyone just how much those Falcons are frauds.
Here is in the game. Goff stops, loads, open Laporta, he's got it, and he's got his first NFL touchdown.
How about Sam Laporta, the rookie, getting the score 45-yard touchdown pass from Jared Goff, and the Lions handle business at home against the Falcons 20-6, outgained Atlanta 358-183. You're an NFL team and you don't even get 200 yards of offense. You got your butts whip. Whip. It's embarrassing. And you know what? I've long been on the Falcons are very overrated bandwagon. And they are overrated. Elsewhere in the NFL, what if I told you that somewhere, someone was saving America? In Washington, the Buffalo Bills destroying the commies.
They fake it to Diggs. Allen steps up. There's the shot. Looking deep for Davis. Touchdown! Allen to Davis.
Or we'll do it on first down.
That's why we're calling the game, boys. That's why we're calling it.
Gabe Davis, the 35-yard strike from Josh Allen. The Buffalo Bills stomped a mud hole in the commies of Washington, 37-3. Now, did you hear that energy? Did you hear that excitement on that pass? Remember when we played the Tank Dell long touchdown and Joe Davis at Fox Sports basically sounded like somebody kicked his grandma? Okay, that, what you just heard, the Bills, that's what a long touchdown catch is supposed to sound like. That is what a broadcaster is supposed to do. Give you some energy, give you excitement, not make you feel like you're at a damn funeral. The Bills are 2-1. Finally. Now, if you're wondering if I am going to take extra glee in this, well, I am. And I deserve to take extra glee in this. In fact, America deserves to take extra glee in this. Because at no point in time will you ever enjoy saying this more than you will right now. How about them Cowboys?
He's got it again here out of the backfield and explodes up the middle. Rondale Moore, touchdown Arizona. They line the receiver up in the backfield and he gallops 45 yards for the Cardinal touchdown.
The Dallas Cowboys, who entered this game 13-point favorites. The Dallas Cowboys, who smashed the New York Giants 40-0 week one, then smashed the New York Jets 30-10 week two, who just watched this Cardinals team get out to a 20-0 lead on the same Giants that they mudhole stomped 40-0 and blow that lead to the Giants, got manhandled in the desert by a team everybody thought was trying to tank. They didn't lose by one. No. They didn't lose by two. No, this is not a field goal game. This wasn't even a touchdown game. The Cardinals thump the Cowboys 28-16. The Cardinals ran for 222 yards on the vaunted Cowboy defense. 7.5 yards a carry. Beateth, downeth. And how about them Cowboys? I mean, Josh Dobbs has been an Arizona Cardinal for all of 35 minutes. And now he has a win over the Dallas Cowboys, whose vaunted pass rush managed only 4 quarterback hits the entire game. Josh Dobbs, 17 of 21. How about them Cowboys? Doing what Dallas always does. Making you believe and then going, sucker! Way to go, Dallas. We always had faith that you would screw it up. One more segment to go. We will get to the WTF section of the program next. But first, got to tell you about my man, Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Science and Snoring. Dr. Ben changed my life. Dr. Ben made my life so much better because I was fully convinced after 20 years, after more than a half dozen doctors in two different states, that my sinus issues were never going to get better. I was always going to have them. There was nothing I could do about it. I lived on antibiotics. All I did was just go up and down, sick, not sick, every other month. It sucked. But I thought that's all it was going to be because it had been that way for so long. I wasn't even going to go meet Dr. Ben. Lots of people told me I should go see him. I was like, you know, I've been to so many doctors. What's he going to tell me that's any different? Best decision I made was going to see Dr. Ben Salento. The only doctor that wanted to find the root cause of the issues that I was having. He's the only one. I talked to him for about 30 minutes, went up to go see him. He's got a brand, like, state-of-the-art facility up there in North Houston. It's awesome. You always deal with Dr. Ben. You don't deal with, you know, all these like different rando doctors and you have to go to this place, that place, this different facility. Now, everything is done by Dr. Ben in his facility. He's always your point of care and he is the best. He is the absolute best in the business. Well, I wanted to do a CT scan on my head. I didn't have to go somewhere else or go see another doctor or make another appointment. Went three doors down, made a left, took 5 minutes and bam, it was done. Turned out I had staph infection that was highly resistant to antibiotics in my sinuses. So all those antibiotics ever did was just weaken it. They never killed it. They never got rid of it. They were just weakening it. And then when I was off the antibiotics, got stronger and I was sick again. Imagine living like that for 20 years. A month later, I had a procedure with Dr. Ben. They surgically removed that staph infection. They did a balloon sinuplasty. What that did was it got rid of all the dead, damaged, messed up tissue in my sinus cavity, opened up my airways, and allowed me to breathe better. Turned out I also had a deviated septum. So they did a septoplasty, and they fixed my deviated septum, and they made it straight. 4 years later, I haven't had a single sinus infection. Haven't even had a sinus headache. Because my airways are fully open, I breathe better, I feel better. Oh, and I sleep better because I used to be a terrible snorer. Why? My airways were so obstructed with all that dead, damaged tissue blocking up my airways. Now my airways are clear. I sleep through the night, no more snoring. So I sleep through the night. The missus sleeps through the night. The kids sleep through the night. The dog sleeps through the night. Hell, the neighbors sleep through the night because my snoring isn't keeping everybody up. If you deal with constant sinus issues, if you deal with snoring, if you deal with sleep apnea, you need to contact Dr. Ben Salento. He can take care of all of those things for you. You don't have to live with them. All you got to do is make the call. 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. Or go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Schedule your consultation with Dr. Ben Salento. Let him do for you what he's done for me, what he's done for dozens of other late hitters, what he's done for thousands of people around the greater Houston area. Let him help you break the cycle and breathe. Tell him I sent you by.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes.
Late Night Houston Sports Talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Time for a little WTF. In one that just came across my feed. From Newsday.com, ally in his own. Joe Namath dropping bombs on the J-E-S-T. Jest. He went to town on Zach Wilson. Said he was awful. Said the play was disgusting. Said he wants Wilson, and all the Jets decision makers gone. Broadway Joe said, get rid of everybody. Things are coming undone in the swamps of Jersey for the J-E-S-T. Things are coming undone for baseballs thrown by Luis Castillo, hit by Kyle Tucker. Ba-boom! It's almost like the Astros retouched the Monstars ball and got all their talent back. Like somehow, after taking 2 of 3 from the Padres following a 3-game beatdown in Arlington, somehow the Astros all touched the Monstars baseball and lost their talent. For 2 weeks, they were awful. But somehow before the game tonight, they retouched the ball. And they got their talent back. And they are up 5-0 in the fifth inning. Now, Jet fans are melting down. And in New York at WFAN, the original sports radio station, Joe Beningo was once upon a time one of the hosts, longtime host of WFAN before retiring and now being a guest on Evan and Tiki, which is now an afternoon drive on FAN. And Joe, of course, famous for being a Jets fan who lives pain. Joe wears his pain like a badge of honor. And Tiki Barber, 10-year giant, one of the greatest offensive players in the history of New York football, all New York football. I mean, if Tiki doesn't retire early, he has a legitimate shot at the Hall of Fame. He put together a 5-year run that the only guy to ever do what he did was Barry Sanders. As a rushing and receiving threat for 5 years, Tiki was phenomenal. And before you all start going, oh, don't be comparing him to Barry Sanders. You don't know what you're talking about. Let me give you an idea of the kind of numbers Tiki Barber had put up over a 5-year stretch. 1,387 yards, 11 touchdowns on the ground, 597 yards on 69 catches in the air. 1,216 yards on the ground, 461 in the air. 1,518 yards, 13 touchdowns on the ground, 52 catches, 578 yards, 2 touchdowns in the air. 2,096 total yards from scrimmage led the league. 1,860 yards rushing, 9 touchdowns, 54 catches, 530 yards in the air. 2,390 yards from scrimmage led the league. 1,662 yards rushing, 5 scores, 58 catches, 465 in the air, 2,127 yards from scrimmage. Tiki put together a 5-year run that was like Hall of Fame track. He retired at 31. Here is Joe Beningo, formerly known as Joe from Saddle River, when he used to be a caller to WFAN. He's a guy who won a contest to become a host and then basically went on to have a long-time career at WFAN. He really is the everybody who's a sports fan who want to talk sports radio, Joe Beningo was the model because he was just a sports fan, didn't play college ball, but he was just a sports fan who wanted to talk sports, won a contest, got a shot, hosted overnights forever. Then just because of attrition, finally got a shot in middays, and then was a longtime midday host and was very popular because he wore his heart on his sleeve. Here's Joe Beningo with Evan and Tiki, and listen to Joe Beningo, the absolute disrespect of a 10-year NFL veteran.
Zach Wilson could process? What are we talking about?
I'm not.
That's the offense. You know, you hit it on the head. That's the difference. Niners dumped the number one draft choice after a year and a half or 2 years because they knew he couldn't play.
Bingo.
And my team continues
to
trot out this.
It's not that they knew he couldn't play.
Let me tell you right now.
They knew that
you hate the Jets. You would love to see the Jets go 2-15. Stop it.
I love
you're
Nate
a giant.
I do not.
If this was the situation with the Giants, you'd be screaming to get Wilson the hell out of there.
First of all,
so
I never
don't
scream.
Give me this nonsense.
First of all,
right,
I never scream because I watch and I analyze. And
okay,
I,
well,
and
you
I,
can analyze I, all you
I,
want, but
and
maybe
I try to
maybe
find
you,
reasons
look, you look,
why things
all I
happening.
Know is this. Yesterday, you were in Washington with the Commanders and the Bills, okay? Were you not?
I was.
Okay, so don't give me this nonsense how you're analyzing Zach Wilson, okay? I don't want to hear it.
All right.
It's BS, Pete.
All right, Joe.
He
sounds good.
Stinks.
I'm turning my mic off, buddy.
He stinks.
No, but here's what I know that frustrates me related to a point you just made. Mike White has thrown for 300 yards in more games than Zach Wilson ever has.
Ever.
And what's frustrating is, yes, Zach Wilson was taken high. And yes, guys are pulled back and taken later. But why are certain guys given less time than other guys?
Now, Evan Roberts and Joe Benigno were longtime co-hosts. Tiki is Evan's new co-host on Afternoon Drive. And Evan let his old co-host, who was a guest on the show, be absolutely disrespectful to his co-host. Tiki's a 10-year vet. Joe never played. And he's basically calling Tiki a liar. Tiki said he analyzed it. Like, you didn't analyze him. You were called another game. As if, you know, between that game and being on the air, Tiki could not have time to watch film. And I mean, come on. But this is what he basically called him a liar, said, I don't care what you have to say. And Evan didn't say a word. Man, these guys are so lucky that Tiki is kind of chill. And Tiki is really calm. Tiki doesn't let things really boil over on him. Sometimes Tiki's a little too chill. Because any other player who had been a former player would have told Joe to shove it where the sun don't shine. They'd have hit him with the, tell me about all the years you played. Tell me I don't matter. I'm full of it. But if you can get the hell off my show, you get the hell out of my life. Let me tell you something. If he'd have said that, could you imagine he'd have said that to maybe former quarterbacks who host in this city? A guy who used to host on this station? Hell, if he'd have said that to John Granato, Granato would have tore him a new one. I can't believe he was that disrespectful to Tiki. And Evan said nothing. Gonna do it for us tonight. Appreciate Dalton Brown, bettingpredators.com. Big Johnny B and BT on the other side of the glass. We're back on Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Astros are up 5-0. This could be a good night, folks. Could be a good night in H-Town!
And then he picked it up, and he broke the tackle. I was like, oh! And then he broke another tackle. I was like, oh! And then he broke another tackle. I was like, oh! And he broke another tackle. I was like, oh! And I was like, oh, he finished score. And he scored, so...
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. I don't get it.
There are things in this world that we will never fully understand.